Welcome, listeners. This is the second episode of In the Mafia, Buffalo Bills podcast. I'm here with my man AJ, and I am AB. We're here to talk some Buffalo Bills football with you. Welcome to the podcast, AJ.
Hey, what's going on, AB?
Same things, man. Excited to talk some Bills football. So first thing, a lot of headlines recently. Obviously, we had two big extensions that happened, kind of unexpected if you asked me. But the first one I want to knock out with you is Coach. I mean, this is a big one. We locked up Coach McDermott through 2025. What do you think this means for our football team?
First off, thank the Lord, because when was the last time we had a solid coach? And, you know, Dick Duran doesn't count. But, I mean, how could you not be excited as a fan to see Sean McDermott take the reins for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years?
Well, he was not one of the most headline-grabbing head coaches when we pulled him on board a couple of years ago, but he was one of the guys that I was really excited that they were interviewing him. And when they actually pulled the trigger and made him our coach, I was excited for our franchise. We've seen a ton of that Carolina Panther lineage, you know, traveling north right now, and that has been great. I feel like that has helped us get some bargain guys for our football team that have, you know, really stood out on paper and on the field both. But again, this, how can't you be excited about this? This is that we can count on some continuity with our football team. And I tell you what, I love the message that he's sending right now.
Absolutely. You know what I really love about him is when you look at what Carolina did that year when they lost that Super Bowl against Peyton Manning, was basically the Broncos that won, and, you know, everyone knows the story.
Sure.
Peyton, you kind of look – right, he was there. He showed up that day. He participated. But the funny thing about that Carolina team was they were kind of like the Bills 2.0. You know, you saw the formula they did to get to the top, and you wanted that formula, and the Bills were almost built that way. And it was like Sean McDermott, when he came over here, really just had to take basically what we had that mirrored Carolina, you know, top defense kind of talent and not a whole lot of offense, and just run the table with your defense, which is what we've become. And then, yes, he did steal a lot of that, a lot of his formula from Carolina, but it worked and it's still working. And we're in the same trajectory that Carolina was 5 years ago. So that's very promising.
And I agree with you. When Sean got to Buffalo, he had something. You know, one thing that was happening during the Rex Ryan era and just previously to that is there were some talented Buffalo Bills. There were some that were, like, you know, grossly overpaid, but there were some talented guys on the squad, and somehow, some way, Rex managed to make that defense worse every year, which is beyond me. But when McDermott got a hold of it, you knew he had some guys that he liked, or he probably wouldn't have showed up in the first place.
Sure. I also think it's interesting that some of the similar positions that found the most success in the Carolina defense are the same positions that are finding elite, you know, talent on a Bills roster and are having the most contributions to the defense, you know, like Josh Norman back on that Carolina team, you know, or Luke Kuechly. And then you go to the Bills now, you know, fast forward to McDermott's defense on the Bills, and you've got the same kind of thing. You got the linebacker and you've got a cornerback that are showing the success, which really speaks to it's the coach, even though the talent's there undeniably, but the coach is, he's calling these plays in a way that's setting these guys up to utilize their talents to be successful. So I couldn't say enough about Sean. He's consistent.
Yeah, I'm excited like you are for this system that he's put in place and see the pieces that can thrive in it. And, you know, you mentioned a name that has had a lot of talk already this offseason, and that's Josh Norman. You know, I I have to tell you, man, I am stoked that they got him and stoked at what they're paying for him. There's a lot that he can earn, and I wasn't a fan of his because he is a super outspoken guy, seemingly a little bit of a diva. But in a McDermott system, that guy thrived. He was one of the best in the league for a couple of years. And even if he can just show us half of that, I think we got a really, really good secondary.
Sure. And you know, if you really think about, if you talk about the weakness of our defense, of like a Sean McDermott defense, you look at, I hate to say it because the guy, in my opinion, is a stud, but Levi Wallace was the targeted guy, you know? And you have to think about it from, was he really bad, or was Trey such a shutdown cornerback that no quarterback was going to be thrown towards Trey? So they just kept targeting Levi, and the poor guy was just in sheer volume, you know, had the plays that, you know, he got burned on. But if you're throwing against him 20 times versus throwing 6 times against Trey, you're going to find some success eventually against Levi. And if you really think about just rotating Norman and Levi Wallace, giving him almost less chances to get burned, I still think you're going to see a stud produced out of Levi Wallace. And same, like you said, with Josh Norman, who can have like a smaller role and still thrive and find success in it.
So you don't believe that Josh is going to take that number two spot from Levi? You think that it's going to be Levi again?
You know, I think when veterans come through, like, I kind of think I see him as almost like a Frank Gore. I hate to say it. He's getting older. I know he's still young. He's getting older, coming into this established defense. It's Levi Wallace's job to lose. And Levi, unfortunately was just a weak link of the secondary, but it's not really saying much. You know what I mean?
Sure. And that's, you know, obviously why they were willing to bring in Josh Norman. And, you know, even if it pushes Levi to be better, you know, that's great. But having those three guys to rotate in there, I think it puts them in a good spot. You know, I really believe that Levi, he did a good job, and you made a great point about volume. Just in sheer volume alone, he was in a position where he had to defend a lot of passes. Now, he made some mistakes, but that happens. You know, not everybody can be Trey White.
Right. Well, you know, it's like, imagine if you graduated from Harvard with like a C average. Like, you still graduated from Harvard. You're still a Harvard grad student, you know, just because you got the C's. But, and I look at Levi Wallace the same way. Like, you know, the guy is still a stud despite the fact that he got burned. And if he was on any other team, he could easily be a star quarterback for that. Just sheer volume. He's the plays you remember, because the plays where anyone on the defense got burned didn't happen against Trey White. You know, 2019, the shutdown season.
Yeah, I agree, man. Well said, for sure. Well, let me get to this. Let's talk a little bit about those 2019, you know, unsung heroes, and pieces that some of them we still have, and some of them we may not have anymore. But who do you believe is our 2019 unsung heroes?
Oh, I should have put more thought to this, to be honest.
That's all right.
You know, last week I actually was. As I was listening back, I realized that I kept referring to Deion Dawkins, but actually I meant to say Jordan Phillips. But I guess unsung heroes.
Well, he's definitely there. You know, I totally agree with you on Jordan Phillips. That he, just in spirit alone, you know, I don't know how much of it people catch on TV, or how much of the word gets out, but he had a way with the crowd, and he had a way with the team. He really had a big, an energy, good word choice. He had a great energy for that football team. And, you know, he's now gone to Arizona, and that's leaving a hole on our team. Sure, he was a part of that rotation again, but, you know, he was one of those unsung heroes, and he didn't end up getting paid by Buffalo. So, you know, maybe they see more than we do, but that was a great name to bring up. I totally agree on Jordan Phillips.
You know, I think with him, he was just so devastated by his experience in Miami, you know, where it didn't go well and the organization was crippling. And it's kind of like all those years of the great first round quarterbacks that fizzle out because they go to the Browns, you know.
Sure.
And I think that's what happened to him. He had a lot to prove. And I think he kind of used this as a stomping ground. And I don't necessarily think Buffalo wasn't going to pay him from just his Instagram account and reading his Twitter page and stuff. It really kind of seemed more like he wanted to see what he could get out there and kind of make the most of his own personal situation. And it had nothing to do with the offer Buffalo gave him. He was just going for the highest bid because he went from a terrible situation, proved himself, and thought he could get it. And
Well, you
I
got to get it while the getting's good.
that's right. That's right. And you can't fault him for it. And I love him. It's like that exit interview when somebody leaves your, you know, place of employment. And it's just a solid exit interview where you'd welcome him back in a heartbeat if he ever applied again. That's how I think of that guy.
Sure. Not so much about the other big sack loss we have with Shaq or Sack Lawson, right? We lost another 6.5 sacks from him, but I don't know if I'm going to miss him as much. What do you think?
No, you remember at the beginning of the season, he was the big question mark. You know, can he
Sure.
finally produce? Are we finally going to get the production? And it, even with a good season, I mean, you kind of got to look at, okay, he gave me 2 out of 3 that, you know, weren't great. It's, you know, thanks for the 1 out of 3, but what about the other two? You know, so.
Well, there's a reason he didn't make it on that starting line. You know what I mean?
Right. I really love the production of 2019. It is, you know, I think we lost him in his prime years, which is tough because if he goes and has, you know, an elite career somewhere else, you're going to be kicking yourself. But at the
Yes.
same time, you know, if you're not thriving in our system, you probably made a big name from yourself in a different system because maybe that was just a better fit.
Agreed. You know, he did reap the benefits. You know, well, both of these guys reaped the benefits a lot of times when Star was in there. He took on a lot of doubles teams himself just because of the run game in general. So, you'll see these guys that are gonna put up numbers that maybe didn't have a headline name before, just because of that. Now, obviously, Star it took the opt out this year, but I think that rotation is still going to be in place. It keeps our guys fresh, and they did add a couple pieces that I believe in this off season. So, you know, we'll see how much we miss those two guys. But I feel like Jordan more of an unsung hero, where Shaq he performed. He had a heck of a season, but Miami can have him if you ask me.
Right. You know who I would also say is Matt Milano. You know, as
100%.
much as you look at the guys that are on the ball every time, and wherever there's a football with an offensive player, you see Matt Milano next to that football on every single play. And
And not only that, sorry to interrupt you, but not only that, he has got so much heart. He seems to be one of those guys that he's talking to everybody, and he brings a little bit of that hype with him to keep everybody engaged and focused.
sure. You know, I'm a big USC fan and there's no college ball this year, which breaks my heart. But
Great.
when one of my favorite teams ever was the 2008 USC defense. If you look at every single defensive player from that team, they're still playing in the NFL. Every single one of them. And that's 12 years ago. I mean, the linebackers from that team were Ray Maluga. They were Clay Matthews and Brian
Cushing.
Cushing. And
Yeah.
oh, Cushing's out. That's right. He retired. But my point on this was it was so exciting to see those three guys as linebackers take out offense after offense. And when I see just the Milano Edmonds thing, where these guys are able to do that as, you know, oftentimes in a two-back system, it's just some of the best defensive football you can watch. You know, these guys just running horizontally covering the entire field and always swarming the ball. You know, you can't have a football get past these guys. They're that good. And I really think Milano was just as good as Edmonds. And you hear the name Edmonds a lot more, probably more because of the draft stock. But unsung hero, Matt Milano.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. couple of the other guys that I was thinking of, and you know, this is a little bit more of a broader thing, is you know, just our tight end room in general. We had a couple of guys, including Dawson Knox and Sweeney, that not only did they perform catching the ball, but they helped give Josh a lot of the time and sprung him for a lot of his runs. If you look back a lot of those tape, our tight ends really, really made some great blocks last year. And I'm excited to see what Dawson does with another year under his belt. But I really feel like our tight end room last year deserved a heck of a lot of kudos for sure.
That's right. That's right. I want to see a bigger jump in the passing game with the tight end, but you almost don't
Agreed.
need it because you've got such talented, fast guys around them that you almost kind of just need them to catch the 5 yards over the middle pass, or you know, just catch it 5 to 10 yards. Give me that in a scheme, and I'll take it. And I, of course, who wouldn't want to see another stiff arm from you know Dawson Knox?
Oh yeah. I still love that some Buffalo Bills fan rewrote his that guy's Wikipedia page. I don't know if you kept up with that when it happened, but it literally said that he was murdered by Dawson Knox, and just hilarious. You know, you got to love Bills Mafia.
That's great. I think I might have seen that. I was
Yeah,
at
I
a
think I screenshotted it or something. I'll send it to you. If they, I think they probably have corrected it at this point.
That's great. Hey, do you remember last week on our last podcast, you were talking about it'll be interesting to see John Brown up against Trey White in practice?
Yes.
Did you
Dick.
see John Brown at the end of practice burn Trey White?
I did.
Man, you called that one.
How
I
about
mean,
it?
like, wow, you mean to tell me that our number two wide receiver just took down a shutdown cornerback on a ball, a long ball thrown by Josh Allen? If you can't get excited about that, whew, man, fire, I get chills. I get full body chills thinking about that.
Well, for good reason. I think our offense finally might have the pieces in line to put up the points to support that defense. You know, I feel like our offense continuously over the last few years had you know, turned the ball over so much and just made it really tough on our guys. And I can't imagine if you know, we got a team that can put up over 20 points a game, what they're going to do. And again, you know, that John Brown hookup, you know, this year, John Brown's not going to be the lead guy. It's going to be Stephon Diggs. And that means that Beasley and Brown, the best that they can do with them is single coverage, because they're not going to give Diggs single coverage all day. They're going to be doubling him every chance they got. So what happens with Brown and Beasley this year? Where do their numbers go?
I kind of get this feeling, you know, that John Brown is going to be elite. And I think it's coming this year. And I usually don't get the feeling like a fourth year. What is it? He's fourth year, right? John Brown? This is fourth year? Maybe fifth?
He yeah, 2013 he came into the league. So he's looking, actually 2014 draft is when he came in.
So it's five, I think.
Yeah.
But the point being, a guy this at this stage in his career does not typically emerge as an elite guy. However, if you look at what John Brown's done from last season, and think about a defensive coach going up against him, putting their best double coverage or their best cornerback on John Brown last season, it's like you're playing Madden on expert mode. And then you take
Right.
it down to, you know, you take it down to like medium difficulty. And now all of a sudden you've got this guy who had a 1,000-yard season up against the best, you know, coverage, having the second best coverage. And you've got a quarterback that's got a good connection with him. How could you not predict a killer season for this guy as long as, you know, Josh Allen has the yards to feed the mouths?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about John Brown. Even before Diggs was a thought in any of our minds last year, John Brown was who I wanted to see Buffalo get for a lot of reasons. You know, talent alone speaks volumes, but I knew he wasn't going to be one of the hottest commodities. He wasn't going to be one of those super, super high paid, March free agents. He was going to be, kind of a second wave guy, and that's no disrespect to him. I love him. I look to him first, but again, McDermott and Bean, they found him at a reasonable rate for what he can do. And again, to have those guys as your one and twos, I don't see how Josh doesn't take a giant stride forward. But last week we talked about 60% being a good goal. I see the opportunities being even better than that, especially if we can get some continuity on that offensive line.
I think if you figure that there were four long balls a game that were dropped and he's throwing anywhere but like roughly around 30 passes, it's hard not to see you go 62, 63%, just assuming that 2 to 3 more passes per game are completed with just the familiarity with your receivers. Especially with what we saw in practice today with him just hitting digs constantly.
Well, Diggs doesn't drop the ball much. He's got some great hands on him. So I know he had issues, obviously, with Duke last year, dropping the ball a lot, some of our other guys. But if just improvement on some of our drops, and again, we talked about it last week, the touch. I think Josh Allen is going to find better touch. He's had a lot of time to work on it. I believe that that was one of his top priorities. So. Seeing what these guys do, and we didn't talk much about Beasley. What do you think about Beasley this year? I mean, all three of these guys can't be top receivers, obviously. What do you think Beasley does? Where do you think his numbers land?
I think Beasley is the guy who can catch it, touch or not. So I really think Beasley is going to have those just maybe like another 500, 600 yard season, which is great. You need that. You need the guy that gives you that because he's the guy that extends the plays that, break down. And you want a guy reliably that can do that. I want to talk about your touch thing before I cover Beasley too much, because if you watch the videos in practice, you can actually hear the coaches yelling about his touch. When Josh Allen's throwing the ball and they're saying, they're congratulating him, like, yeah, nice touch. You can hear him in the background. And it makes you realize that's their focus on Josh. And it's in his head now. Like, he rehearsed it. It's been drilled in his mind that that is what he needed to work on. Clearly, it's the primary focus of the coaches, and it's playing out, and you could see that. But I really think Beasley was not one of the big drop guys last year. He was Mr. Reliable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he caught some unbelievable passes.
Right. And if
Yeah,
you're
he
going to.
actually had almost 800 yards last year and six touchdowns.
I think
You think
with
he
Beasley,
improves?
what was cool is he was almost always hitting stride, which is really cool in my opinion. Because Josh, if he's going to throw it in tight coverage and hit the guy in stride, even though like he always was in tight coverage, it was like he caught it and got tackled, like almost every time. But I really think you need a guy like Beasley that can still catch the hard ball, And that's my thought on Beasley.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm just excited to have him. He's always going to be able to create that separation underneath. He's such a squirrely guy. So, can he improve on that six touchdown mark? I don't think so. I think that he got a couple extra last year, but 67 catches, 778 yards. I feel like he's going to be right in that line. If not, improve a little bit. So I'm hoping so. But John Brown, this could be his breakout year. I mean, nobody heard of Adam Thielen before, and all of a sudden he's becoming talked about as a top 10, top 15, top 20 wide receiver in this league. I mean, he put up some great numbers opposite Diggs, and to now have that same kind of coverage for John Brown, where I don't know, I don't. I've never seen their 40 times, but I have to imagine John Brown has got the quicker feet.
Yeah, he's elite. I mean, that's
He,
why
he's so fast.
he was always the deep ball guy, and that's kind of like his history. I think when he came from Baltimore, and so he had Flacco throwing the deep ball, and then he had Ballmer, and he was always just you throw it deep, and he runs under it and catches it. But you know, it's, you bring up an interesting point about Minnesota. When they use Diggs, they would always play him in the slot, and it's not. And when Beasley played in Dallas, he was always in the slot, like almost always. You know, they would have the two outside wide receivers. It was like Dez Bryant and, you know, whoever they lined up on the other side with Beasley in the slot. And I wonder if Diggs is now going to be, you know, thrown outside almost every play now, or if they're going to rotate them in the slot, if they're going to do like a two receiver thing. I really wonder what the scheme's going to be, or if they're going to have three wide receivers on almost every play. Curious about that. What do you think?
Me too. I mean, they have definitely leaned their way into wanting to run the ball, but all these pieces they're adding, it makes me think like they're going to throw it a heck of a lot. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what the offense can churn out this year. Again, I expect a big improvement from Josh Allen in a lot of aspects, but that Beasley connection, it's going to be huge. And seeing who lines up in the slot, I feel like they're both going to be on the field at the same time. So I think Beasley will get that position because he's more of the inside runner, but who knows? I mean, we know our offensive coordinator, you know, he's somewhat of a mad scientist in what he's drawing up. You know, you see these sweep plays, you see a lot of movement in the backfield. So I sure as heck know I wouldn't want to be a defense game planning for some of these studs that they've been able to assemble.
I almost wonder if you use the mirror imaging of Carolina to Buffalo, we'll say like, you know, Carolina 4 to 6 years ago versus present day Buffalo, you know what doesn't translate is the offense. Now the Cam Newton, you can make an argument that Cam Newton was a mobile quarterback that had a big arm, was a freak athlete. And you can kind of see a little bit of that in Josh Allen, but Allen doesn't have the yards. And, you know, like we talked about last week, Allen's got that just football mentality. I want to win, you know, competitiveness. But if you look at the offensive scheme, you think you've got that Greg Olsen tight end that they pretty much rely on, and then they've got the Kelvin Benjamin back, you know, 4 6 years ago, remember? And they were just throwing the deep ball to their young receivers on the outside, and then they would check down with Greg Olsen. This is completely different. You've got three wide receivers that are short, and they're freak athletes that can run routes, and then you've got blocking tight ends with stud running backs. And then, you know, it's just 180 degrees from what Bean and McDermott were doing, you know, 4 years ago. So I wonder how much reins they're giving on their offensive coordinator to just do his own thing, because it looks nothing like the formula they used 4 to 6 years ago to get them to the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm with you on it. It's definitely a different system. And, you know, I'm really glad that, because they did a lot of designed runs for Cam Newton those years in Carolina, and I think his body took a beating because of it. So I don't want to see that happen to Josh. I think more of Josh's runs are scrambles than actual design runs, and I'd love to see the numbers on that comparison, but that's not what we want him to do. We want him to throw the ball, especially with what we're spending on our wide receivers and that talent pool that's out there. So, So I'm hoping that we really can, again, improve on that off. It's going to really rely on that offensive line. That brings me to another topic. What do you think they're going to do with Ford? Do you think that they're going to do guard? They're going to send him to guard? Do you think they're going to go tackle with him? It's an exciting yet controversial topic on what's going to happen there.
I think a lot of it has to do, you know, in my opinion, actually with Moss. And I really think what they're going to do is they're going to make a judgment call of who does Moss feel better running, you know, on the inside of. And I think a lot of that scheming of where you line up the offensive line has to do with your power back and who he's gelling with the most. And I think that's something that's not really talked about a lot. Everybody talks about offensive lines being the protection and who can drop back and provide the most time for Allen and who gels well at what position. And with Cody Ford, I think it's all going to depend on the success of Zach Moss. You know, Does he create the space to allow that guy to power through up the middle? And I would flip a coin where they stick him, but I would say that the decision would be made based off of the power running game.
Well, I'm excited for one thing that is clearly off the topic, though. Seeing him catch the ball today in the video. I'm not sure what feed I saw that on, but seeing Zach Moss catching the ball out of the backfield to go along with that running ability, that's going to be another tough one to account for. And, you know, go back to our 2019 unsung heroes. But Devin Singletary's got to be in that conversation, too. Around the league, he is not one of the names that is mentioned when they talk about the Buffalo Bills. But he moved a lot of chains for us last year. So this year, seeing those two guys share touches, whatever they do to figure out the formula of what works, I'm excited to see it because I think that they're going to be a problem for a lot of teams.
Right. Right. You know, I think anybody who's a Bills fan, anybody who's watched a Bills game this season knows Devin Singletary's name. And I think it's unfair to call him an unsung hero because he's the shining new toy. It's like, you know, it's like when dad goes out and buys a Corvette and keeps it in the garage and you want to take it out for a spin. I mean, that's what Devin Singletary is. He's your,
but don't you
know,
feel that's what they did last year? Don't you feel like they kept him in the garage too much? They ran Frank Gore in a lot of situations. They pulled out the old reliable Buick, you know what I mean? For a lot of situations, and they left that Corvette collecting dust.
Did you see Frank Gore said he could get 1,000 yards if they used him better? I don't think I'm on board with that. I saw him hit the line of scrimmage and get hit too many times, and I think that's what I'm relying on for Zach Moss to do is to be better than that. I think we gave Gore too much, and he didn't do anything with it. And you know, as much as I love his career, I loved watching him over the years. I think it didn't work here, and I think we needed a guy like Zach Moss. And when you say it's cool to see him catch the ball, oh my gosh, yeah, it's cool to see him catch the ball because. You know, I want to see Zach Moss in space as much as I want to see him between the tackles. Just to see that it's got that kind of threat where everybody's going to respect Moss, and then you're going to bring your shiny Corvette out and you're going to, you know, put it in third gear and or second gear and cruise down to the end zone. Oh, they better not cancel football this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. This is building a lot of excitement. We've been starting to talk fantasy locally and getting our leagues together. And some people are standoffish. Some people are excited and they're hopeful and optimistic, like I am. And some people are like, just pass on me this year. But I got Josh Allen as a 16th round keeper in my league, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, so.
I think you're right about the IR, three IR spots or something, or for just for COVID illness. I think you're going to see a lot of the team, the structure of the teams play out for fantasy different.
Yeah, and I think the actual league is going to have to make additional changes too from this COVID reserve that they have because of the quarantine procedures and that. So hopefully everybody's putting things in place to avoid creating that situation, and we don't have to deal with a lot for our team or our fantasy teams. My fingers are going to be crossed that soon we're going to be able to move on from this completely, but at least get our guys out there playing football. I think everybody needs that. I think people are still down in the dumps a little bit. A lot of people still aren't working, so getting some football, something to get excited about, is going to be big. And I'm like you, man. The Bills, they're a contender this year. They're rising in a lot of power ranking sheets from where they were over the last few years. So for this to be the year that they don't have a season, well, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
It would. And I love to compare the Bills against, past teams because you kind of look at like what they did that got them where they want to be. And another one that you could kind of mirror, and I think it's a perfect correlation, is the Seattle team when Pete Carroll first took over. If you remember how when they first got Russell Wilson and then he took them to the playoffs and then he fizzled out, had kind of an, I don't want to say embarrassing playoff, appearance, but It wasn't great. And then they came back and just dominated the next couple of years. And it's
Yes.
so hard not to see Buffalo in the same position of that, first Russell Wilson year team. And Allen and Wilson are a lot alike, where they have, well, maybe not, but you know what I'm saying? Like they just kind of have that like commitment to the team, that just baller attitude, that the teams are set up very defense first, and then score second, score enough points to win the game, but run your defense to shut out the opponents so they can't score more than it's a very similar concept. And I think
Yeah,
this
I
is the
agree.
season where you really come back strong and then you go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope so. I never want to say that I am happy about a loss or glad about a loss, but Buffalo, I think, learned a lot from that loss last year to Houston, and I don't think they ever want to feel like that again.
Oh, that poor kid. Watching Allen's face every time. I mean, that game took easily 5 years off my life.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what it did to Josh Allen. Poor kid.
well, he did some crazy things there in the second half, and again, it was because of his heart and just how bad he wanted to win. And I joke around with a lot of friends and colleagues about it. I said, "Yes, Josh Allen may be a psychopath, but he's
Might be.
our psychopath."
That's right. That's right. I could have finished that sentence. He's our psychopath.
Hell yeah. And I'm excited to see what he does with this football team for the first time in a long time. I'm really excited about the quarterback position. I'm really excited about the team, the coach getting extended. We didn't even really touch on Dawkins. I mean, that's a huge piece of the continuity of that offensive line. He is locked up. He got paid well. And I think he's going to keep playing like he has been to earn that money. And I think he's fun. He's one of those guys, He caught a touchdown last year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's an exciting piece. And I think that Bills Mafia is excited for him and this moment. There's a lot of guys out there that they scratch their head about when they're getting paid. And I don't think that that was one of those moves. I think
No.
that we all have his back and the Bills back for that signing. And I'm glad there were a lot of talks about them, not making that deal, or even they were talking about trading Dawkins a lot last year. And I like that guy, and I'm excited to see him stick around at least for 4 more years.
Sure. And I think he's also kind of the guy that fires up the crowd and just has that electric energy that's so contagious, and it makes me wonder what it's like in the huddle with him. What's it like on that offense when he's around? And that's the kind of guy I want on my team for that reason alone. And I love that they paid him. It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, and I love the signing of Deion Dawkins.
Well, that brings me to the last topic I got on our sheet here. Who is going to get the next extension? Who do you see it? Is it Trey? Is it Milano? Both deserving guys, but there's a couple other ones out there that are obviously going to have their hand out, especially with big seasons this year. So who do you think we're going to extend, and when's that going to happen?
You have to say Trey. I would love to give you a Cinderella pick, but I think you have to say Trey. And the reason I say that is because when you look at a guy like Deion Dawkins getting signed, it just fires up the team morale. You look at the comments on his Instagram page or on the Bills page, and it's all the other players just so fired up for the guy. The heart of that team is right there with him. And I think the next move you make is the Trey White. You respect your guy. You have his back. It's like he feels disrespected. He's done everything he possibly could to earn that extension. And to give him that would not only secure him as maybe even a franchise player. I mean, undoubtedly he would be deserving of it. But I think every other player in that locker room would see that. And they would be a Buffalo Bills fan for life. You know what I mean?
I concur. And you can't tell me that there's anybody else on that team that has earned it more than him. And just overall, he's one of my favorite guys on the team. I mean, he has some so much fun. You know, every time I think of Trey White, sure, I think of you know, one of the best corners in the league, but I think of that moment last year when the opposing team's plays blew on the field, or whatever that paper was that blew on the field. He runs over, picks it up, and starts reading through. I mean, that's priceless stuff. I mean, he's making it fun to play football. He's making it fun to watch playing football. And I just love that about him. And I hope he's a Buffalo Bill for life.
Same here. It was a great moment. And you know what was great about it is something like that has always been like such a hush hush, find a moment kind of thing. But it was so lighthearted and it was so funny. And he wasn't sitting there studying it. He was just making a joke. And it was a great moment for Bills fans where no one's going to sit there and go, oh, he's cheating or oh, he needs to be fined. This is a problem. They just loved it. It just fired us up. You rally behind this guy. And the first time, I'll tell you this too, first time I ever really fell in love with Trey was actually at another New England game. Do you remember in his rookie year when Gronk laid him out and it was a cheap shot?
Oh yeah, buried his face into the ground
Yep.
and
And it was
nothing happened.
right. And the way the team rallied around Trey was probably a turning point in this Buffalo defense. It was, that's our guy. You saw the entire team say they probably, heckled him being a rookie. They probably gave him a hard time, everything. But then
Sure.
from that moment on, everybody rallied around that player. Trey was a Buffalo elite. He was a star. Every fan, every player, every coach was behind him 1,000%. And I'm going to tell you that if you extend him to brush up on what we're talking about, I think it's the wisest move you can make as a, general manager, coach. You got to get Trey. Get him paid. Pay him what he wants. It's got to happen.
Yes, pull the Brinks truck up for that guy. I couldn't agree with you more. And just to touch back on that hit with Gronkowski, just what a vicious and awful moment. I mean, there was nothing football related about that, and somebody like Trey doesn't deserve that. And somehow, you know, this Patriot way, which seemingly has gotten him all of these wins, has also seemingly been looked over by the NFL and by refs in a lot of different positions. So I don't know why that is, but I am excited to see hopefully that Patriots dynasty be done with, and I hope Buffalo can, you know, put a 2-0 on him this year and stop hearing about that for a long time, because you know, things like that just made me sick. And I'm glad that Trey wasn't seriously hurt, but nobody deserves that kind of thing. There was nothing football related there.
You just don't like to see it. And he was. It's funny, though, that it turned the culture of this defense and it really got us behind our defense. Our defense was. We were behind him. Like if you could buy a Buffalo defense jersey, it would just be a Buffalo defense jersey.
Just a circle for the wagons.
The whole defense, just put it on my back. I want to wear that number, And I think
It.
that really was the defining moment. And it was, it's sad that that's the kind of thing that changes a culture like that, but it really did. And, Trey's my guy. Love him to death. Especially, I don't want to bird walk too far, but, you look at Mahomes getting a baseball team this year.
Oh,
Was it 503 million or something? Buys a
something like
buys
that.
the Houston Astros. I mean, that's awesome. But
Yeah.
a lot of Bills fans, which people on Twitter are idiots, but a lot of
Agreed.
Bills fans cast a lot of shade on Trey for that, us giving up that pick to Mahomes. We probably would have ruined Mahomes' career. And look what we got. I'd rather have Trey.
Sure.
I don't think we have the offense for Mahomes. I think Mahomes is probably the single most elite player in the history of football that I've ever watched. And yes, he probably could have put us on his shoulders and gotten us to a Super Bowl. Sure. But I love Trey White. And I think we could do it with Allen, and if we could do it with Trey White and Allen, then I would almost like to go back and find all those Twitter fans that, threw White shade and remind them
Yes.
that they gave him a hard time for being the pick we gave up, losing Mahomes. So, I
Well,
mean,
I think if
that's
Buffalo gets its first championship, I think that we're going to have a lot of those I told you so's and a lot of those ha-ha moments and a lot of well-deserved braggadocious conversations with our friends and colleagues. I mean, you like me, weren't necessarily in the Western New York area our whole life, so we've dealt with a lot of tough Bill seasons and a lot of probably digs from our buddies for a lot of years. So I look forward to hopefully one day watching that team host their trophy, ho hoist that trophy, and us being able to finally enjoy it.
what do you think about every victory from this season? What's the party going to be like in Buffalo if we shut out New England? Say we win 2-0 against New England this year. Well, home and away, what's the party going to be like in Buffalo?
Well, I hope they save the big party for the Lombardi Trophy and not all for that 2-0 thing. But I think it's going to be huge. I believe that this is going to be one of those years where, like Chris Berman says, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Everybody is going to be a fan once they start winning, and you see that. I'm sure. A lot of the times when you tell somebody that you're a Bills fan, they're like, oh, yeah, I root for the Bills. They give you that kind of thing. And I already, over this last season or two, have seen a lot more red, white, and blue hats and shirts around my town here in central Pennsylvania. So I
Really?
bet we're going to have a lot of them jumping on board this year. And come on, we'll take them. It's the Buffalo Bills going to the Super Bowl, man. Everybody can
Absolutely. Oh man,
come.
I was a very young guy back when they were, winning playoffs after playoff game, and I remember just the atmosphere of seeing my parents and being at the house parties for the games. And just seeing how ecstatic everybody, and I remember living that energy. I wasn't really old enough to understand football, but I was old enough to understand the energy in the room. And I
Yeah, I'm
want that.
saying, how old are you, AJ?
Ah, 32.
Okay, I'm 38, or I'm 37. I'll be 38 in October. So I remember it. It's there, but I didn't know football and understand and have the passion like I do now. But like, I went to Super Bowl parties when they were there, and my family actually, we've had season tickets for all these years, but the first three Super Bowls, a representative from my family was at each one of them. Now, I think we all said, forget that fourth one. We were getting smashed by Dallas. But those first couple of years, they were there in full support. And I actually got to go to a lot of those home playoff games throughout that time. The beatdown of the Raiders. I got to go to the greatest comeback in NFL history. I was super fortunate back then that when my family had an extra ticket, they always thought of me. I think we're going to have that same kind of hype. I mean, I think we're going to, obviously no fans in the stadium, but I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the team and a lot of excitement. And hopefully they're playing on into February and at least giving us a chance at the trophy this year. But again, they're making great decisions. Extension of McDermott, excuse me, and Dawkins. I think that those are big moves going into this year. And I don't know what's going to happen with that salary cap next year, but I hope they find a way to number one, lock in Trey and also keep Milano around too. I think that keeping those core guys in place is going to spell long-term success up there. We got the coach sticking around. Let's keep the guys that have been, keeping us in the win column.
100%. That's probably a great way to end this thing, but I'll tell you that, I couldn't be any more excited to be a Buffalo Bills fan than I am right now. And it's a good time to be a fan.
I agree.
I can't wait to be living in Buffalo when you're seeing win after win after win, playoff victory, beating New England. Like these are things that I'm just excited to be in a room with other Bills fans experiencing because we've needed this.
We have. And I think it's well deserved, especially for this team that's continued to put their nose to the grindstone. And you don't have a lot of those selfish me first guys begging about stats or causing issues there. I think that we got a blue collar team that is going to go out and they're going to hopefully shock the world this year. But that we're at 50 minutes right now. That flew by, and it's
It
because we're
did.
so excited and we have great things to talk about. So AJ, it's truly a pleasure. I really enjoy doing this with you. I look forward to more great episodes and a huge Bills season this year.
That's right. Go Bills, baby.
Go Bills, AJ. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care, AB.
You too.